you not wait. Welcome to the blockchain. Things are about to Good afternoon, and welcome to the second half of the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, as we are overcoming challenges right and left here. In the studio with me is Lee Hansen. He is the CEO of Byte Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company. Lee, thanks for hanging out for the second half of the show.
It's been entertaining watching you juggle all this finely tuned technology.
Yes. And just to bring our guests on the line up to date, we have a limited ability to plug headsets in this afternoon to our board here so that the participants in the studio can hear the phone lines. Augie has retreated to the lobby to listen to the intros here, but I think we will have to, somewhere in the course of this interview, drop one of the lines so that Augie can participate, or we've got a couple of means of overcoming this, but just we will find our way. So let's waste no more time and introduce our guests who've been generous with their time. As I said before, got to this point, that they are the new power couple of blockchain in Tampa Bay. Gabe Higgins and Rosa Shores are, I guess, co-founder, co-owners. They're co-everything when it comes to Clear Voter and Block Spaces. I think I am right about that. Just tell me right now if you have to correct me. Am I right or wrong on that?
Yeah, that's pretty right.
Okay, so Blockspaces, of course, being the Tampa Bay blockchain incubator that is newly opened in its own space. Beautiful. If you look at the website and on the Facebook page, you look like you've been having a great turnout at some of your meetings there, and just a sort of a state-of-the-art place for people to meet. Why don't we start there? Rosa or Gabe, whoever wants to go first. I don't know if you... Yeah, I know you guys are remotely calling from two different locations, too.
We are,
so,
yeah.
Well, Rose, I hear your voice first. You tell us where the status of Blockspaces is, please.
Well, we're still, we're still not completely up and running. We've just had a few things hold us back a little bit here in the last month. But we are really focusing on, if not by the end of the year, the first part of January for, you know, fully being open to the public. We are absolutely having meetups there. We're having some dev workshops there and, you know, sort of doing like this little bit of a soft launch with people that are already in our meetup groups and people that are already, you know, in the know of some of the things we have going on with our dev workshops. We haven't, like, you know, done any sort of big advertising or anything like that for, you know, having people come in and start, you know, renting out co-work space, but we do already have about 5 or 6 desks already spoken for, so we're not anticipating that. We're anticipating that filling up really fast. So we are really excited, and there is a lot going on. We just commissioned some Bitcoin art that's going to be for sale in the space. So we're almost going to have like a little bit of a art gallery going on. So there's a lot of really exciting things as far as Blockspaces is concerned.
Well, our resident artist is stuck out in the lobby right now. I'm sure he heard that.
Wow.
And is saying, how do I get back in? How much extra... Slack, do you have on the second earbud there?
Not much.
Okay.
We'd have to snuggle.
Yeah, we would love to focus on, you know, local people within the community that also do, you know, art. So we do already have a couple of different artists on the horn.
Okay.
So really excited about that.
All right, we're making adjustments right now.
I don't think it works.
It's really an interesting.
I only have one channel.
Like talking about the most cutting edge crypto. cryptocurrency technology when you can't get your money plugged?
Well, the earbuds, and the problem is we only get one channel on the earbuds. So it doesn't matter how close they get. Let me – Augie doesn't really need to hear you to have something to say to you. So let me introduce Augie. Augie, go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, and
a
sunny day and a gold sunshine on the future of speculation, right?
Definitely. It is a beautiful day, that's for sure.
Let me ask you this. Which came first, the acquaintance of the two of you together and then the interest in crypto and blockchain developed, or blockchain and crypto brought you together?
No. We were friends and knew each other before Bitcoin, and I was sort of like this extremely – we have a really interesting – considering we're now in Bitcoin and on a political civic engagement project together, it's kind of hilarious because we couldn't have been more farther apart in our views on at least politics when we first met. So Gabe's libertarian. I was like a – I like to tell people I was like a falling off the left liberal. And, you know, we kind of went from there with a few years of interesting conversations in between. So Bitcoin was something actually that, you know, I can let Gabe tell his side of this, but Gabe got into Bitcoin first, and we already knew each other. So I thought he was crazy for about 6 months. I mean, like, I really thought it was just nuts, like everybody else, I think, that hears about it for the first time. But that was like in 2013. So our friendship came first, and then Bitcoin and politics and all of that came later.
Okay, so then you discovered that he was crazy, but he was right about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
I just thought I understood the value proposition. You know, when you first heard about it, and of course in 2013, there was no real. There was nothing built up around it like there is now. So when I first heard about it, it just seemed crazy to me. And in a way, you know, it's such a different way of thinking about money. We've never had anything like this. We've never had like a virtual currency before. So it just seemed like a crazy thing to me. And I couldn't make the correlation in my brain. If this was supposed to be, you know, as a lot of people do now, if this was supposed to be something that was, you know, to take the place of fiat, so to speak, how was it any different? It seemed to me that, you know, the things that they were fighting, you know, being able to just randomly print off money, it's like, well, can't you just randomly print off currency or create currency? I mean, digital currency. So that was kind of a hang up in my head because, you know, blockchain and the way that digital currency is created is you have to really understand blockchain technology to understand that. So, you know, I think that was my first hang up was I couldn't understand how that would even have any sort of value for the things that they were supposedly against, which is, I think, a really common thing that most people, you know, think about when they first hear it. So it did just take some understanding, and really, honestly, every single time I hear people talk about blockchain and Bitcoin and digital currencies, I learn something new. I mean, even after all of this time and even only having been in it or hearing about it since 2013 makes us kind of old-timers, right? I mean, that's like, which is crazy, like how fast and how new this all is. So I think that every single time I hear somebody talk about it, every single time I listen to people that are devs or, you know, involved in this space, I learn something new every single day. You know, there are no authorities here. This is we're kind of learning as we go. All of us. There's no expert here.
We're speaking with Rosa Shores and Gabe Higgins. Well, we're sort of speaking with Gabe Higgins.
No, I'm going to let him talk.
No, it's okay. Very wisely. No.
I heard him. I know that we were listening to the Bitcoin Cash debate, and I know that's definitely something that we like to talk about, so I will let Gabe talk.
Well, Gabe was very wisely probably just staying quiet, and he couldn't get into trouble that way, so we need to change all that.
Yeah.
Gabe, Well, before we go to Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Go, or rather Bitcoin Cash topic, why was it so hard to bring Rosa and prove you were right to her?
I wouldn't say it was hard. You know, Bitcoin challenges a lot of preconceptions and misinformation that a lot of people have. And there's fundamental knowledge base that you need to really know and have a good grasp on to understand the value proposition that Bitcoin provides. So I had been privy to all that prior knowledge before Bitcoin came about. So when I discovered it, I immediately recognized the potential and the value proposition that it proposed. And so that's when I started looking into it. And then when I mentioned it to her and I tried explaining, you know, the value proposition just on its face, I don't think it really translated because of the prior knowledge base that you need. So, you know, you need to study, you know, a little bit of economics, some history of a monetary policy, our current monetary system, how it operates, and all the flaws with it, and then you understand what happened with the last financial crisis, and then you really get a good understanding. You got to understand all that first before you can really take a look at Bitcoin in a way that's going to help you
Gabe,
see the value proposition.
I have to interrupt you for just a second because we're just now adjusting to this second week here is expanding to 90 minutes. I need to do the station ID. WWPR,
okay.
1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. And so as I was processing that, so all it took was Gabe needed to mansplain some stuff.
Oh, come on. Not that word.
So I know I want to get Gabe and Augie together in a second, but before we transfer earbuds from one to the other, what are some of the incubating projects, some of the concepts that are going to be sprouting out of Block Spaces in Tampa? Again, we're talking to Rosa Shores, Gabe Higgins. You can find Block Spaces on Facebook. There's a website out there, too. I'm sure they'll tell us. Also, to find out what's happening in the Tampa Bay area as far as meetups, Tampa Bay Bitcoiners is a great place to start looking for that. And then the meetup.com also, you can find that, too. And while I'm running on here, we're going to see you at 2 o'clock at Mocha Joe's, not Gabe and Rosa, but everyone else that's listening is going to head over to Mocha Joe's at 2 o'clock for the first Bradenton cryptocurrency meetup there. Gabe or Rosa, what are some of the projects that you're excited about that are sprouting out of the Block Spaces?
Well, we're pre-launch as of right now. We don't have our website up yet. It's currently being built right now as we speak. So hopefully that'll be up shortly. We have held a couple meetings at the space just to kind of break it in as like a soft launch, like Rosa mentioned. So we haven't officially done a grand opening yet, as we're not completely built out yet.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. I don't want you to give away anybody's proprietary information or anything like that. But what is
right.
the nature of things? You must know people that are just chomping at the bit to start working on projects. What kind of industries, what kind of avenues are they taking? What might we see come out of there?
Yeah, well, anything from investing into the mining side of cryptocurrency, investing in cryptocurrencies themselves. We have a couple prospects for doing me and Rosa's projects is ClearVoter, which is proposing a blockchain-based voting system. And we have other members that have other interesting projects having to do with more utilizing cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology in other interesting ways. So we have a lot working, and we seemingly get connected more every day with other people that are looking to do launch, you know, a project. But right now the bottleneck is developers finding developers that are knowledgeable about blockchain technology, and so that is another focus of ours, is that we want to help develop a developer community around this technology and get more developers involved in the space and building new and interesting projects.
Yeah, that is a huge issue. We have a friend of ours that is getting ready to launch, or if they haven't already launched, a Blockchain Academy, which teaches devs. Hopefully, I mean, you know, like Gabe mentioned, you know, blockchain developers are in such high demand. I mean, they're all, like, you know, well into the six figures and in such high demand that they have just projects lined up. So training devs and helping them find avenues that they can, you know, get what they need to take existing devs and create blockchain devs before, you know, you create, you know, brand new devs from scratch is probably the first order of business for this whole entire space.
Well, I'm proud to announce to our guests and the audience that Lee has solved the problem
with a turn of a switch.
to Augie. Is now part of the conversation.
All right.
I've been in and out and over to a radio and listening to pieces, but what I was interested in, a couple of things I found interesting, one that Rose's conversion into a believer of sorts, I suppose, with some skepticism thrown in. But the other thing was the issue of how much more virtuous this could be if there were set asides. I guess it was with Dash, I believe. Monies were set aside so that people could have availability of money, and someone would have to make the decision as to who merited that money and got that benefit. And therefore, the ultimate goal of the libertarian idea is to not have taxes and don't worry about regulation in your water and your food and all those things. That's my mini speech.
That's not exactly correct, but, you know.
Well, so you say, Lee.
Free market facilitates that if you're serving poison water, you're not serving it for very long.
Oh, that's not true.
So it's only bad if you're the first in line. By the time the attorney gets there with the tort, the rest of the people benefit from your sacrifice.
This discussion boils down to the classic argument over the base ethic. The base ethic is you can't forcibly take money from one group to benefit another. That breaks the constructs of a proper society. So you have to come up with a better methodology, and Dash did. Dash comes up with this way of taking the capital at the point of creation and funding projects from it. I think we can do that on a global scale.
But who makes that decision?
It's not. It's a consensus decision between all the masternodes. So you can become a masternode. It's way cheaper than becoming POTUS.
Yeah, but. It may be cheaper, but what's the process for that?
I'm not extremely tuned into the process, but I did read where it takes 1,000 Dash, and obviously you have to, you know, have some other knowledge to become a masternode. So, but yeah, that's fine.
The way
it's the form of a modern cryptocurrency republic, basically.
Yeah, it's Dash is the most advanced working DAO, decentralized autonomous organization. And he's correct in saying that the masternodes make the decisions as a collective. And
right.
So you owning you stake 1,000 Dash to become a masternode, you still own that crypto, but you stake that up to the network to provide more security, and it also gives you voting rights onto how to vote on proposals on the treasury budget,
so you
which
have to
is
buy
10% of the mining transactions.
Mm-hmm.
10% of the mining is put into this treasury pool that is voted on by network participants on whatever anybody can submit a proposal to the Dash network, and then the network decides who they get to pay out of that treasury.
That's
and
right.
With that, they've been able to pay developers to advance their own protocol, which is brilliant. And this kind of voting mechanism puts consensus it leaves ambiguity out of the consensus mechanism, and it gives it a definitive decision on the process and on what roadmap that Dash is going to take.
You know, the problem I'm having with this is it requires money up front. It's an oligopoly pretending to be a democratic thing. It's investment of monies. If you run for office, you're investing monies too. You're right, but in the current situation. However,
you're both right. Go ahead, finish your thought.
So, but in this situation, it's an elitism by any other name. And so pretending that it's more democratic or more generous or more charitable or whatever, Flint, Michigan is a perfect example. It's still in the mess that it's been in for two or three years. And because of the poisoning of the water should have been a reason to change things, it didn't change a damn thing.
Is that due to the people of Flint, Michigan, or their regulatory bodies?
The regulatory bodies. Time on this right now. I mean, we're talking about a very small universe of the Dash noders, nodes.
Well, it's thousands of people.
Well, it's still a small universe.
No, and it's important to look at the cost to be a master node from a different angle or from multiple angles. Augie's partially right. He's not completely right. It shows a dedication to the cause when you have to put, you know, blood up, when you have to put money up to be a masternode, then not everyone can be a masternode, which means that the people involved are very dedicated to the cause and to the principles of being a masternode.
Right. So it's a very altruistic country club.
Well, it's not necessarily altruistic. It's that the incentives are aligned in such a way that the network participants are incentivized to make the system work for everybody, as opposed to regulatory bodies that have misaligned incentives just to benefit themselves and their donors.
See, that's why we keep you out in the lobby.
Gabe, I owe you a dinner.
Well,
all right.
As long as it's regulated.
But let's put aside Dash for the moment, because where we were going to go, we got 15 minutes left, was the concept of Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash coexisting, because let me swing this back over to Rosa. It seemed to me like as we saw the surge of Bitcoin Cash, there, and speaking of self-interest, there were some powerful self-interests that were not only pushing the interest of Bitcoin Cash, they were trying to hurt and create detriment to Bitcoin by trying to, with this surge, force miners off Bitcoin and thereby increasing the transaction times and creating a self-fulfilling prophecy that Bitcoin was going to be non-functional and obsolete. What do you think, Rosa?
Yeah, that is really the biggest part of my problem with Bitcoin Cash is the way that it has been deployed, so to speak. There's no bones about it that Bitcoin Cash is Roger Ver. You know, that's not saying anything against Roger Ver. That's just saying that's a fact. And, you know, this notion that, you know, Bitcoin Cash is the original vision of Satoshi and, like, all of this, I believe that that is just complete hogwash. I don't necessarily think that Bitcoin is the original vision of Satoshi. The original vision of Satoshi is a cryptocurrency that has community consensus. And so whatever the community decides, you know, Satoshi walked away from this project and left it to the community. So whatever the community decides Bitcoin is what Bitcoin is. You know, you can't come in and say, oh, now I'm just going to say I'm Roger Ver, and so Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin in the vision of Satoshi. The vision of Satoshi was community consensus. And so to me, that is the only thing that matters. Can Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash live in the world together? Absolutely. I think that they can. I don't necessarily think that Bitcoin Cash has anything, a unique value proposition that some of the other alternative currencies don't already have. So I don't understand why somebody would, if cheap fees and fast transactions are the focus, then why not Litecoin? Why not Dash? I feel like the focus on Bitcoin Cash is all like sort of a pump. And that's not necessarily to say that I'm against Bitcoin Cash. I just don't understand the value.
Gabe, what do you have to say to that?
I think that was perfectly stated.
Well said, Gabe.
Yeah, I see some problems in Bitcoin Cash's future long term, given how it was how they instituted the emergency difficulty adjustment algorithm for mining. They have fixed that recently, but it went too long being wrong, and that has created an inflation rate that is going to cause problems for them in the future, specifically with their next halving. It's going to happen much sooner than Bitcoin, and Bitcoin Cash is directly competing with Bitcoin as far as hash rate, and that's going to cause misaligned incentives on the mining side, and miners are most likely going to flee that chain in back into Bitcoin during that time of the halving of Bitcoin Cash. So I'm interested to see on how they're going to adjust for that, how they're going to correct that problem.
Okay, what's the
if they're going to correct that
again?
Problem.
What's the time frame for that again, please?
I think it's somewhere in 2020. It could happen sooner, as soon as 2019.
Well, we're all going to be rich by then.
Well, I hope so.
I thought we were
yeah.
rich now.
We're richer.
We haven't seen nothing yet.
Rich is a dash node. So, anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to bring that back. Let's try and go back to a more kumbaya moment here. You were talking about art at Block Spaces. Tell us a little bit more about that now that Augie can hear you correctly, and let's see if there's a place for him there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was always sort of, we had always envisioned putting, and we were, I mean, it's in the proposal that we're going to be putting in sort of like a small merchandise area that has sort of like Bitcoin-related merchandise, because that just seems to be popular. We'd also be able to sell like hard wallets and things like that. So we are going to have like a small, a very small retail space within Block Spaces. But one of the things that, you know, I've always loved is Bitcoin and cryptocurrency-related art, and it's very, very popular right now. Some of, like, the Bitcoin propaganda art and, you know, just more of, like, a pop culture kind of art. So there are some, you know, well-known Bitcoin artists, and then there's just some of our local artist community that I've reached out to create some Bitcoin art. And we already have a couple of different artists interested, and we have one that's actually going to be, creating some art that we'll be able to sell in the space. So everything that is on the walls will be available for sale. So that's really exciting, and we just actually talked to him yesterday, and he's going to have his first round of paintings and stuff for us available, you know, in January. So, yeah, really exciting.
You know, Augie works in metal. And I was just thinking,
cool.
he could take people's keys, the addresses, and imprint them into a work of art in metal.
Well, I'm doing a series now called Blooming Idiots, and this fits right in. And the current idiot in the White House is number one.
Now he's trying to suck Lee into this, too.
Lee, you tried to do a kumbaya moment. And
well,
it
but it's a wonderful
he
moment.
He can't help himself.
It's a wonderful moment.
Contrarian.
Well, that's what a contrarian does. It's a wonderful moment of realization as to what you've really done to yourself. Like self-surgery.
Well, we would love, we have lots and lots of wall space and ability to...
Well, I've got standing pieces that are as tall as you are probably, Rosa.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So you're welcome to come down and visit. I don't have anything photographed to show you, but you know, you just come and visit Siesta Key and locate my house, and you can't miss it.
Okay.
And you're going to say, oh, yeah.
All right. What's coming up at Block Spaces and the meetups calendars up there in Tampa?
Yeah, so we're gonna continue to hold meetups at our new space while it's still a work in progress. So bear with us if you come visit. But we have been holding meetings, so we give short presentations, we talk about the news, last one we talked about, you know, these forks and what they are, how to, you know, kind of navigate through them with your wallets and how to split your keys and all that. We'll be holding more informational sessions like that in the near future, and we're going to have a pretty regular schedule come the new year on providing more on-point educational seminars and workshops and stuff.
Where's the best place to find the most up-to-date information?
Right now it's on Facebook. If you just find us on Facebook at Block Spaces, and our website will be up shortly, and with our new promotional video that we shot. Thank you to shout out to Kate who helped us from our group. So all that will be up soon.
And what about the Channel 10 interview?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. So we she came out to our meetup, actually, and has just been wanting to do a story on cryptocurrency, but has been trying to find an angle because, you know, the medium of television is a little bit difficult to, you know, just say, oh, and here, let's talk about blockchain, you know. So, you know, looking for more of like a human interest type story. So it sounds like the story is developing to sort of revolve around, you know, mine and Gabe's sort of journey into the space and how Block Spaces came to be. So we're excited about it. It seems like it's going to be sort of like a series of interviews that will culminate in a story. So we're just getting started on that, but exciting.
Well, Gabe and Rosa, Gabe Higgins, Rosa Shores, thank you for making time this afternoon. I know with all your schedules, been busy and also sort of tumultuous lately. So
yeah.
Appreciate all that, and our thoughts are with both of you. And thanks again, and I hope to have you back soon.
Thanks, Henry and crew.
Take it easy, Gabe.
Bye.
And Rosa.
Bye. I see the technical problem that was there. You know, there's probably a lesson, more than just that lesson, to be learned. When you see the same problem over and over again, you always expect the problem to be the problem. And sometimes the...
We're just having this conversation.
Different
hands
and
I've been a technician for more than two decades in varying focuses and markets. And, you know, it's easy to forget...
to turn on a switch.
Yeah. We were talking about that, though. But I think that a good technician, and I don't know whether I could consider myself a good technician or not, I was too lazy not to look at the easy thing first. Because the one time in your life where you forget to look at the switch, and it's the switch, and you spend 3 hours looking for everything else, that's the last time that happens.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah, exactly.
Augie, go ahead. Last words?
Oh, the last words. Alex Solis is going to, he wants to promote my art, as a matter of fact. He wants to be a merchandiser, and he'll be available for perhaps next Saturday. Returning to the studio. I offered to, when he gets free of his current situation, I said I'm going to buy him a steak. And his stepfather, too. if they have one. Sure. But anyway, the point is that he's really hot to get back in the business. He's incapacitated right now. And, of course, I know what that's like, Henry, when you have to call from a hospital bed or some other confinement. That's what happens.
Lee, what's the latest with Byte Federal?
The latest with Byte Federal is... Lennart Lopin, our CTO, is on a road trip. He went up to Savannah to check out the install for the first time. And then in the middle of that, we got an email from one of our friends in the space who found a location in Charleston, South Carolina. So he continued on up, which is why he's not here today. So
you're going to
add
another state?
Yeah, you know, we're hoping to add Charleston, South Carolina in the next couple weeks. And we've got some other locations on the East Coast. And we're hoping to put some other places in Jacksonville. Hey, Jacksonville, if you aren't listening, which we know they're not, but if they might.
Online.
Yeah, please call us up. We'd like to come install a Bitcoin ATM.
And there. You're down in... Key West now, too, aren't you?
We actually removed the Key Largo location because no one was using it. It, you know, literally had three customers.
Well, you can't rent a car down there anyway.
You know, it's it, it was shocking. We were down there, and it was pretty nice. But the story was, you go like 20 miles further, and it's just a complete disaster.
Right.
So.
Right.
All right, so we are going to be heading over to Mocha Joe's right now. Looking forward to seeing all the people that have already RSVP'd, but you don't need to RSVP. Just show up at Mocha Joe's at 2 o'clock. Lee's going to be more generous with his time again and come over at least for a little while so you can ask him questions and we'll have authority. Augie will be extremely generous with his time.
Well, I've been more than generous in this place. Running from our damn radio to the mic.
He's got mileage today.
He's got mileage, exactly.
And, well, we'll see all of you over there, and we'll be back next week with another Henry Raines show.
Y'all. Don't get anything from giants, they only hurt anything.